consensus loser. That's the Nothing Personal word of the day. It is Monday, April 29th, 2024. Consensus loser. You never want to be that. You'd like to be not a collective loser, an individual loser. Who likes to lose? I hate losing. Everyone grades the draft. The NFL draft was this weekend. Media companies losing their mind. More coverage than you can possibly watch. I assume that the first mock draft for next year was released the minute Mr. Irrelevant was drafted. Everyone's already ready for next year in Green Bay. 775,000 lonely people went to Detroit and created a lot of excitement around this draft. And when producers meet with talent, they get together, they're coming up with their shows and their rundowns, what they're going to talk about. You have to do winners and losers. I do it. I'm guilty of it. After an MLB regular season or an MLB offseason, losers of the offseason. And then I give you my favorite line that winning the offseason stinks. It's stupid. You end up not winning the regular season, which is all that matters. But for the draft, everyone comes up with their list. Who are the losers? And there was, usually it's a bunch of teams are on the fringe of losing or maybe the fringe of winning. And you could argue both ways. And then, of course, you've got the outliers who are about three standard deviations away from the rest of the league. So the clear consensus winners and the clear consensus losers. And this year's draft, there was a clear consensus winner. Everywhere you read, people in Chicago must be jacked up, getting a brand new waterfront stadium, getting a stadium for the White Sox, for the Bears. It's the Bulls are fantastic. They haven't, I think they're still involved in the playoffs. They've won a title recently. The Bears winner, Caleb Williams, shocking, drafted, and then they got who they wanted at 9, and they're in. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but they're the consensus winner. But it's way more interesting to talk about the consensus loser because there's always going to be that too. But this year felt different with the way and the vitriol that people are treating the Atlanta Falcons. Impugning the abilities of the GM, the coach, the owner, players, anybody, that they don't know anything about anything. We, the armchair fans and media, we know how to run a team. There's a far better chance that we don't know anything than there is that they don't know anything. It's so much bigger a chance, I can't even tell you. But just for the sake of this show, let's see if we can make an argument why Kirk Cousins, the quarterback who the Atlanta Falcons signed to a 4-year deal, guaranteed him $100 million, coming off a torn Achilles, hasn't played since week 8 last year with the Vikings. Let's see if we can come up with a cogent reason why the Atlanta Falcons would have drafted Penix and not told Kirk Cousins about it. Give me one more second. Let me try to think of it. I'll get it. Just give me 1 minute to come up with. I'm tired. I'm back here in New York, excited for a great show tonight at City Winery, final show of this leg of the tour. It's going to be quite something. If you're in New York and you're listening to this, come on down. No, 10 more seconds, Coca, that's it. Oh, I got it. I know why. They didn't have a current number for the agent or for Cousins. It's the only thing I've been able to think of. Mike McCartney is the agent for Kirk Cousins, who said, big surprise, couldn't believe it. As a matter of fact, we had no idea this was coming. And then he dropped, the truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming, talking about drafting a quarterback when they just signed a quarterback. We got no heads up. I fought with an owner about this. I fought with the GM about this numerous times. In various capacities, in terms of communication with players. I like to err on the side of over-communicating with players because I didn't mind being honest and I was totally fine. If we're going to trade someone, not trade him, sign him, draft him, not draft him, trade for him, tamper, I was in for all of it. What do I care? It's not a contract. We can tell a player we're not going to trade you and then trade you. Done it. We can tell a player we're going to trade you and then not trade you. Done it. We can tell a player we want to sign you and then not sign you. Done it. More old school GMs and owners like to keep the line between players and team activity really, really separate. I'll call it the anti-LeBron line. There is no reason the Falcons needed to call Kirk Cousins or his agent, nor is there a reason that Kirk Cousins or his agent should have red ass over not being called because a quarterback was drafted. Aaron Rodgers gets upset that Jordan Love is drafted because Aaron Rodgers says, why didn't you get me more weapons? Because I can't win a Super Bowl if I don't have weapons, yet you're already drafting my replacement. Forget the fact that that's true, and Aaron Rodgers was drafted as the replacement for Brett Favre years before he became the replacement. The Falcons don't have enough weapons around Kirk Cousins. They have set their franchise back for years by drafting Michael Penix. The pundits are all saying, which all may turn out to be true. But what if Kirk Cousins, like many, this guy is not a spring chicken compared to others, maybe, but generally not. What's his age, Coca? If you had a guess, I'm going to go with 35 as a general age of a quarterback who's beginning to get older. Drafting a quarterback who was a consensus top 20, top 15 pick in the draft. It's not as though they moved a guy from the sixth round. He turns 36 in August. Nailed it. He's 35. He'll be playing at 36 coming off a torn Achilles. Now they've got someone to step in and be ready to go. But you have to be clear to your fans when you draft a quarterback after signing a quarterback that, don't worry, the signed quarterback is our quarterback. So GM Terry Fontenot had to go out and he had to say, if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem. That's saying, hey, we've got Kirk Cousins. He's going to play out the entirety of his contract. Then they send out the head coach, not Bill Belichick. Remember, Arthur Blank was going to hire him, and Robert Kraft said, don't you dare. And Arthur Blank said, no problem. Then Robert Kraft said, I didn't say anything. Then Arthur Blank said, hey, we wanted Raheem Morris. I wonder whether Belichick is going to be better as a media person than he was as a coach without Brady. That would be something. He's going to make millions of dollars this year. He went on a bunch of shows, did a bunch of pregames. McAfee is going to be doing ESPN stuff. Who knows what? Seven figures right off the bat for a media career for a guy who hates the media. This is a side note, Coca. Bill Belichick hates the media, and now he's in it. I love it. He is the king of not wanting to let any information out, give you obfuscation at every turn. Bill, is it true that today is Monday at 8:09 a.m. Eastern? It's funny you say it that way. I don't happen to want to discuss the time, but what I will say is that we're going to be ready to go next week. That's Bill Belichick. Now he's got to give you deep, non-grumpy analysis in non-hoodies. So Raheem Morris, the coach of the Falcons, says, we came up with a decision, and this is what we plan to do. And Kirk does not have to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. Like, that is not the case. Thank you. That is a huge, huge vote of confidence for Kirk Cousins. Makes Kirk very happy. I'm sure it'll be very good. Kirk Cousins is going to come out. Don't you worry. He's going to have to come out the way Rodgers did with Love. Oh, I'm going to mentor him, and I'm going to support him. I'm going to be right there for him. And Penix is going to have to come out when he meets the media, and he's going to have to say that I am here to learn from Kirk. I couldn't be more excited to be in the CP. CP is something you may not be thinking about. The clipboard position. I don't think the backup, that may be an old reference. I was just thinking, Coca. Do backup quarterbacks still carry a clipboard? Or now is it just they have the earpiece and they don't need the clipboard? It's funny. I'm going to have to look for that next year. But that's where Penix is. So the draft continues on and people write their story about who's happy, who's not happy, and what they did and did the team. I'm in this chat of Packer fans where they're commenting on all the picks saying, oh, they filled their holes. They got what they needed. And then I'm in a separate chat with Giants fans. There was mixed. It was more of a mixed bag from the brilliant analysts of the draft. I'm not trying to yuck on the draft, especially I love you, CBS and Meadowlark Media. I do. I'm just laughing. I like that David Tepper has a sense of humor. We've gotten on David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, because his team stinks. He's a very, very meddling owner. And it's okay to meddle if you're going to win or call yourself the GM. He neither wins nor calls himself the GM. Not sure what he does. He may be as bad an owner as Michael Jordan was. I just read that Michael Jordan is succeeding in NASCAR, but in 13 years with the Charlotte Hornets, Bobcats, Hornets, one of them, maybe both of them, I don't think he won a playoff series as the owner. Yet when he goes to bed at night, puts his head on the pillow, he looks at the deal, looks at his time in the NBA as an owner, and says, wow, that was the best business deal I ever did. It was better than Nike. David Tepper, it was viral this weekend because he was caught on camera by a closed circuit camera in a restaurant. He went into a restaurant where outside the restaurant there was a sign, please let the coach and GM do their job, as a basically throwing shade on Tepper for meddling in the draft. And it is true that owners meddle in the draft. It's way more fun for baseball owners to meddle in the draft than it is for football owners. Way more. A baseball owner meddling in the draft is based on a video of a player where you see swings if it's an offensive player, maybe taking some ground balls, maybe throwing the ball in from the outfield. And if it's a pitcher, you get on loop a bunch of pitches that he's thrown. Look at that 94. Look at this great spin. Look at his presence. Look at his legs. Look at that repeatable delivery. Oh, and the owner says, I want that guy. When will he be in the big leagues? 4 years. Screw it. I don't want that guy anymore. But owners in baseball do meddle. They do get involved in who the team drafts, which is asinine. In football, owners who meddle, it's worse because those players are expected to fill holes on the major league team, on the actual football team that year. That's the first reason it's worse. But the second reason is that, are they going to the college games maybe, or they're just looking at video? Or do they go to the combine and stand there? Do you think Josh Harris was just standing there? Josh Harris, did we find out, did he go to the Sixers playoff game the night of the draft? If you're a fan of nothing personal, you heard me talking about this. There was a Sixer playoff game against the Knicks, and they're down 3-1, and they're going to lose to our Knicks. But there was a Sixers game the night of the draft when the Commanders were drafting, and I saw a picture that Coca sent me of Josh Harris in a picture at the draft. And he said to me, that means he wasn't at the game. And I said, that's not true. You can go to the game and to the draft if you have, you know, the transportation available. So we don't have an answer. If you have an answer out there, if anyone saw Josh Harris at the Sixers game, what game would that have been? Game 2, 3? Maybe it was game 3 in Philly. Don't remember which game. Could have been the only game they won. So Tepper goes into a restaurant in Carolina, I assume, and he goes to talk to the head proprietor. And we don't know exactly what happened, except the owner of the restaurant said, hey, it was super nice. He just wanted to understand why we'd put a sign out there that said, hey, you meddle too much, you rat bastard. And you never know someone until you meet them, which has been my absolute rallying cry for decades. Don't judge me until you meet me. Once you meet me, like, Coca has every right to judge me because he's 140,000 1,040 of these shows. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. We told our owner not to ever confront fans. What's the upside? But sometimes owners, it's like when a president of the United States is in the caravan, except it's not called the caravan, Coke. I can't remember what it's called. I'm having a moment. I'm very, very tired. I'll be better by tonight, I promise. What's it called when there is a bunch of limousines and they're all armored and the president is in it? Oh, this is incredible that this is happening. Hi, my name is David Sampson. All right, I'm good. The fact that Coca has not yelled, a motorcade. Thank you. It's a motorcade, Coca. So when a presidential motorcade is going down the street and the president's like, hey, I'll stop and shake hands here. And you're like, no, not a great idea. Oh, because you think I'm going to get shot by someone who's expecting me to stop the motorcade here? No, not because of that. Just because it's really not necessary. So Tepper's like, hey, I'm going to go into this restaurant. And we would always say to the owner, we'd prefer you not to do it. You want to pretend to be normal. Do it within the ballpark. Do it at a game. And owners don't like doing that, but that's the place they should do it. Because generally at a game, when you have a lead, that's when we want to send the owner out to like a concession stand because people are going to be happy. Generally, people are better with owners face-to-face than they are when you're putting up a sign or when you're doing an email. But at a game, when you're winning, go meet your fans. You don't need to walk into any restaurants. I'm sweating right now. I have the air down at 63 where I do this show, but I'm still, you know, you get a little sweat going and you try to wear things where the sweat doesn't show. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I sit with my legs down. I'm sitting, obviously, so you get the sweat buildup behind the knees, very common. But it's very important that I try to wear things where I'm not going to have my sweat show. That would be the ultimate goal when it comes to the wardrobe department of Nothing Personal, which, thank you, Metalark, is amazing. We have such a huge wardrobe department. Major League Baseball players, I'll get there. Major League Baseball players have been despondent, apparently, over the new uniforms because they're see-through on the bottom, whatever, and all of a sudden they're sweating through them. Apparently no one remembers playing a pro player stadium, but you're sweating through the uniforms and you're seeing sweat stains. I was waiting for Dontrell Willis all weekend to come out and say, you want to see sweat? Take a look at Scott Olsen. So the players have been bitching and moaning about these uniforms. It's been incredible. I told you that MLB didn't care, and I was right. I told you that they're not going to switch out these uniforms, and I was right. For all of you taking a victory lap because it was announced yesterday by the union, which is not an announcement, but it was announced by the union that there's a memo that says that the uniforms are going to be replaced. All of the complaining we've done, it's worked. Now, please do not go, oh, there's the management hack. Just hear me out. When you are dealing with a union and the union is focused on non-economic issues, that makes management happy. It's not about what my background is. It's about the general principles of collective bargaining, no matter the industry. Having the players focus this much on uniforms makes owners and the commissioner laugh. They're not pissed. They didn't even comment. MLBPA did an entire release. They did a memo to catch up all of, to again, let's not worry about the coup that happened. I am Tony Clark and I'm in charge. Listen, this has been entirely a Nike issue. The union is saying that. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. We caution Nike. And then the memo says, Fanatics has been and continues to be a great partner with the players. Fanatics recognizes the vital importance of soliciting player feedback, obtaining player buy-in, and not being afraid to have difficult conversations about jerseys or trading cards. Our hope is that moving forward, Nike will take a similar approach. Well, to the writer of that menu, I say horse hockey. Because you're lying. You didn't mean to say Fanatics has been and continues to be a great partner with the players. You meant to let it be known that management and the owners and the commissioner are not great partners with the players. When you say that Fanatics obtains player buy-in, does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the competition committee where the owners are making decisions on a committee that the players are on but have no power and then instituting those rules and the players all vote against it and get super angry when these pitch clock changes or any rules change? And then it comes out that the union says, hey, you don't have player buy-in. Player buy-in, that's a concept I grew up with in baseball. Rob Manfred, when he was running the labor department, Bud Selig as commissioner, they would talk about that a lot. Player buy-in. Let's do that, Rob said when he became commissioner. Before we institute changes, because in collective bargaining, you can institute whatever you want. You just have to wait a year. You can bargain something. If it doesn't happen, change the rule, wait a year. You can change anything. I don't want to do that. I want to get player buy-in. It'll make it easier. Well, the players certainly don't feel as though they're getting any sort of attention or love from the commissioner's office. This whole memo, this whole jersey situation that everyone is taking a victory lap over because, oh, look, we're going to get new unis. It's about labor. The entire statement is about labor. And here's a little side note for those not paying attention. Fanatics pays the union. Nike doesn't. What? They do? The players' union gets their entire lockout strike fund from dues and from licensing deals. Fanatics has a licensing deal with MLBPA. They pay them money. Give me your NIL. What was the name of that one player, Coca, who was drafted and did not sign off to allow him, Fanatics to sell his jersey? There's no way you and I didn't talk about it, but we didn't talk about it, so there's no way you know what I'm thinking. But I want to say it was like a Marvin Harrison Jr., and I don't know why that name would be in my head. It is Marvin Harrison Jr. Thank you, Coca. He just said, hey, you don't have my NIL. And Marvin Harrison Jr. said, you can't do jerseys. And Fanatics said, no problem. Happy not to do your jersey. We'll let Caleb Williams break the record of Caitlin Clark, which he just did. Caitlin Clark held the record for like a minute. Something's got to be rotten in the state of Copenhagen that the record now was Caitlin Clark. It was amazing. It was such a great story. And then boom, Caleb Williams out of nowhere breaks the record. Huge surprise that Williams went to the Bears. There was great pent-up demand. And then whoosh, gets the record. Wonder who will break Caleb Williams' record, because you can bet your bippy he's not going to hold the record for long. Joke. Just always read the statements, please. Everybody, just read them and then understand why they're doing what they're doing. People may not understand why the Baltimore Orioles sent out Jackson Holliday. I'm going to do a shout out to an astronaut. Sorry, Terry. I know you listen to the show every day. Terry Virts, one of the great American astronauts of all time. On the space shuttle, lived on the International Space Station. Total look at me, Louie moment. I spoke to him on the telephone while he was living in space. Coolest thing ever to get a call from space. He has been all over me. I'm talking to you, Terry, about the Orioles sending out Jackson Holliday. You got to send him out. He's overmatched. And I said, just be patient. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. The Orioles sent him out. He took quite the victory lap. I said, you're an astronaut, man. You don't have to ever take another victory lap. You have a permanent victory lap. But yet, he seemed more excited that he was in on the Jackson Holliday issue. Very tough thing when you have a highly touted prospect who everyone says is ready and you don't have him on the team, but then you bring him up early and then he struggles and then you have to decide what to do and then you send him back and then you look like a prize fool. And so then you have to give a statement. And Mike Elias has nothing to be ashamed of. He has done a job for the Orioles that should bring a tear to the eye of teams trying to rebuild who have not done it successfully. He is the next iteration of Jeff Luhnow, the next iteration of Theo Epstein, who did it with the Cubs. He's doing it with the Orioles. The Orioles are going to win a ring with this group of players. As a matter of fact, Coca, I'm happy to make that an official wait to see. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If it doesn't, fine. The Baltimore Orioles will win a ring in the pre-holiday free agent years. So before Jackson Holliday becomes a free agent, the Orioles are going to win it, not just get to the World Series. They're going to win it. So Jackson Holliday goes 2-for-34. He's striking out over 50% of his plate appearances, plays 10 games. Elias has to say, we decided to call him up and see how the translation to the major leagues would go on a short-term basis. Not true. What we have seen here led me to evaluate an opinion that he would benefit from going back and adjusting there, meaning AAA, rather than doing it here in real time. When you have to send out your top prospect, it's okay to not be forthcoming because you don't want the media or the fans to think that he's failing. You want to say, hey, this is it. We had him coming up short term, send him back. Bring him back. It's not true, though. When you bring up a prospect like that, you're bringing him up to stay. It's what we say to our development people before the decision is made to bring him up. Is he ready to stay? If it's a fringe prospect, we don't care. We'll bring him up. If he's good, we'll keep him. The minute he stinks, we'll send him down. No problem. But for one of the top prospects in all of baseball, forget on your team. When you bring him up, you got to make sure he's ready to stay. Does the body language suffer? Did something change in Jackson Holliday when he went 2-for-34 with 18 Ks? Was he not the person who he had been coming up through the system? Because you don't look like you know what you're doing when you send him down and say, listen, it was short term anyway, and we really want to see him adjust down in AAA versus at the big league level. That does not change over 34 at-bats. Now they'll get some service time back. That's true. GMs out there should not be listening to fans and the pressure of anybody to call up a player. What was the reason to call up Jackson Holliday? Were the Orioles struggling? Did they need a shot in the arm in the clubhouse? Did they need pitching? He's not a pitcher. Rushing prospects does not make sense to me. David, he's not rushed. It's only a small sample size. Then don't send him out. The minute the Orioles sent him out, it means that they rushed him up. Those two things go together. Two other things that seem to go together are the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. Joined at the hip in their effort to get a new stadium. Unlikely strange bedfellows as they head toward a vote of the people, and they got crushed. It's the equivalent of Kansas City hosting a playoff game at Arrowhead and Mahomes throwing four interceptions and then losing 38-10. It's the Royals making it to the World Series and saying, I love you, Denkinger. It's just the whole package, bad. Then they came out this weekend and said, we've got a new plan. We're not going to work with each other anymore. Now, the White Sox and the Bears, if they want to keep working together, hey, Clark, they're not working together anymore. The Bears announced their own thing on the lakefront, and the White Sox have the South Loop. Oh, yeah. It's asinine for teams to work together, football and baseball. It really is. We are in competition with the other sports teams in our market. I'm so tired of the tweets and of the pictures and of the love that everyone shows for all the other teams in their market. Hey, we're supporting the Panthers by wearing their jerseys during BP or whatever. It's total crap. Every dollar that someone spends on the Royals is a dollar they're not spending on the Chiefs. Every public dollar that goes to a Royal Stadium is a public dollar that doesn't go to a new Chiefs Stadium or renovated at Arrowhead, whatever the case may be. Every corporate sales deal done by the Lakers doesn't go to the Chargers. Oh, but David, there's a bunch of teams who have, they share sponsors. I look at the NFL or MLB and I look at outfield wall signs and it looks like 10 teams have the same outfield wall sign. And it looks like that that company also sponsors the other team, the other league, the other sport in that same city. News alert. Not all deals are created equal. When you see an outfield wall sign in one stadium, it's not the same price as an outfield wall sign in another stadium. There are our rate for an outfield wall sign, $100,000. The Yankees rate, $2 million. Same company, same sign. The one that I think of, Coca, and this is when, with our huge Metal Arc Media vat of resources, if I would say Stanley, boom. Levitard hates when I do this. Video department, show me a picture of a Stanley sign. They're all the same. It's the yellow background and then the black lettering of S-T-A-N-L-E-Y. You know, I don't even know what they are, but we all know their sign. They don't spend the same amount of money in each city with each team. Have I ever told you, Coca, the story of how badly we got screwed in national deals where there were local applications of the deal and it was just MLB lying to us the entire time, whether it was Selig or Rob, whoever it was? Hey, we just cut a deal. Everybody's going to get a piece of StubHub. And then, you know, in the part where you don't vote on the little print, it's StubHub has promised to spread the local part of this contract over all 30 teams. And then in tiny, tiny, teeny letters, allocations may not be equal. Oh, right. A $30 million spend goes $28 million to the top teams, then $1.8 million to the middle tier teams, and then $200,000 to the lower tier teams. Thanks for that. Is that too inside baseball, Coca? That's not inside baseball. That's business. So the Royals and the Chiefs have decided to break up. It's a great relationship. Well, it lasted. It got nowhere. We'll see if they do it separately. All right, when we come back, we are going to review the movie that I've been waiting to review. I'm so excited. And then we have a lot of NBA to talk about as well. So don't go anywhere.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson. During the break, Coco is trying to make sure that I pronounced Frankie Muniz's name right, and I don't know whether I will. That was funny, Coca. Welcome back. It's David Sampson. Thank you for being a part of Nothing Personal, for being with us on that trip. We were did shows live from Paris. There's a family wedding this weekend in Cabo. Got back late last night. We have a live show tonight. Go to davidsampsonpodcast.com for information about the tour, which ends tonight for now. There's merch. There's all of the things related to Nothing Personal. Thank you. DraftKings Network, every day, 10 a.m., and you are here live at 8 a.m. Every day. It came out. If you've been with Nothing Personal from the beginning, or you just joined, this is a message to a couple percent of the people who may not have heard if today's your first show. So You Want to Talk to Samson. That's a segment.
I want to talk to Samson.
That's a segment based on questions that come to us from Twitter at David P. Samson or from davidsamsonpodcast.com. And it's from the movie Half Baked. That's a movie from a long time ago, which is an amazing movie to watch, whether you're not baked, half baked, fully baked. Spoiler alert, it was quite a party weekend. We have a strange, interesting family wedding situation where people are generally 67, 69 baked. Well, all of a sudden, Half Baked 2 finally came out. They did a sequel, and I watched it. It's called Totally High. As you can imagine, my review of Half Baked 2 Totally High is forthcoming because I watch a movie every day, and I watched this one on one of the flights I've been on in the past month, and it was in the last 2 days. I'm going to say this review super, super quickly. Half Baked 2 isn't good. If you want to watch a movie called Half Baked, just watch Half Baked. Half Baked 2 Totally High. You can be totally high and watch Half Baked 2 Totally High, and it's still not funny. Didn't laugh one time. So I did something just because I wanted to have a sample size. There was Totally High and there was Not High at All. It turns out that Half Baked 2 Totally High, Half Baked 2 Not High at All, same thing. Nary a laugh. It's the same story. There is a cameo from Frankie. Fantastic. Whatever. It's not Tom Cruise Tropic Thunder type cameo situation, Matt Damon type cameo situation. It's whatever. So here's my review. I'm sad to say, if you want to watch Half Baked, please go watch it. If you want to see the sequel, I have two words for you. Fletch lives. Nothing personal pick of the day. You may not remember, we did a live show Thursday and we had the Phillies over the Reds, winner. We had the Sixers over the Knicks, winner. We are 52-62. We went 2-0 on Thursday. Guess what we didn't have as our pick of the day yesterday? A quick Let It Ride, Coca. During Let It Ride, the movie with Richard Dreyfuss and David Johansen and Jennifer Tilly that you know I love, there is a scene where he wants to make a bet and he gets arrested so he can't make a bet and he's having this heater of a day. And that particular race, the horse that he bet on didn't win and he didn't get to make the bet. So he won by not betting. I told you we're going against Patrick Corbin every time. Patrick Corbin pitched for the Nats yesterday and the Nats actually won. Corbin was terrible, of course, but the Nats won. The Marlins were up 7-0 and they lost 12-9 to the Nationals. So we would have lost our pick of the day. We'll be right back against Corbin the next time he pitches. I promise you that. In the meantime, we're going to look at some NBA games tonight. There's one game specifically on the pick of the day that I'd like you to focus on. I was going to say the New Jersey Pelicans. I don't know why that was in my head. The New Orleans Pelicans are done. They're down 3-0. They're about to get swept by Oklahoma City. For people not focused on Oklahoma City as a team, you're missing the boat. That they backed into the number one seed. Denver's the favorite. Do we have an update on odds to win the title? Is OKC that far below Denver in terms of overall? Would it be, is it Celtics, Nuggets, OKC, or Nuggets, Celtics, OKC? Whatever the case is, OKC is a legitimate, legitimate team. And hopefully you're having a chance to watch them during the playoffs. I'm getting information right now that the Nuggets are plus 215 to win the title and the Thunder are plus 850. Holy shnikes. Coca, we're going to right now on that line, we're going to take the Thunder for a half a unit, please. Right now, get it. On DraftKings to win Thunder plus 850. Watch this team. So can you, we're going to put that as our pick of the day. We're going to have OKC minus 5 over the Pelicans to win that series. And then we're going to put, we have $10 units, half a unit on OKC to win the title at plus 850. I am blown away by that. Where are the Celtics? Are they sandwiched in between that, or are they even above that? Like plus 180 or something. That would be pretty crazy. They're plus 125? Who would bet that? Don't bet the Celtics to win the title at plus 125. Please. What is the Suns line to win the title? Let's see if we can get some value there. My guess is the Suns are somewhere around plus Ishbia to win the title. They've got the same chance to win the title as I do. 0.0. They got swept by the T-Wolves last night. And I just kept thinking about that game, kept thinking about the season. I kept thinking about Matt Ishbia, the new owner. I kept thinking about the day that Ishbia traded for Durant, traded for Beal, fired Montezuma's Revenge. Oh, sorry. That's what happened to me. I'm having a minute. Monty Williams. I had the mantra right. Matt Ishbia had it all figured out. I know how to charge you for your mortgage. And because I know how to hate Dan Gilbert, you know what else I know? I know how to build a super team. Dun, da, da, da. The Phoenix Suns are going to be the greatest team ever. We got Booker. We got Durant. We got Beal. We're unstoppable. They stink. Ishbia with one of the great cases of new owneritis. Are you loving him because he signed all the players, or are you hating him because he doesn't know what he's doing? And he just said, do it, do it, do it, do it. Well, he's done it. And now they got a bunch of years left with an aging Durant and nary a ring or even a shot at a ring going forward. And contracts that are not movable. And a Durant who came out after the loss. This is really what you want from once your team gets swept. You want to get sources out there. Shams is the man. He got a source right after the Suns got swept that Durant was not happy with the offense because he thought that he was Jennifer Grade. So he came out and Swayze and says, no one puts baby in a corner. He didn't like being put in a corner on offense. He felt he was there too much. According to sources, well, I've got my own sources inside my own head that tell me that a player who starts making excuses after his team gets swept because his team isn't good enough and then says it wasn't him, it's not me, it's you. That works so well in relationships, doesn't it? It's not me, it's you. It's not you, it's me. That's a way better way to do it, Coca. That's the funnier one from relationships. Can you edit that out? Well, I'll give you a cleaner one. 6-12-69. It's not you, it's me. Durant did the opposite. It's not me, it's you. Suns have the third largest payroll in the league this season. Third largest. We saw in the season last year in baseball, all those high payrolls, Yankees, Mets, Padres, 0-3, no playoffs. Suns made the playoffs, but is getting swept in the first round the same? Yeah, it's still making the playoffs. The Suns are so far over the luxury tax. They're going to pay $68 million in luxury tax for a team that got swept by the non-A-Rod T-Wolves. They brought in Frank Vogel. The great Frank Vogel gave him $35 million, letting Monty go make his 14 elsewhere. The Suns have a real problem. And the true problem is really Ishbia. Because now he's going to have this great epiphany like, oh, I can't do this the same way that I run my mortgage company. It ends up only screwing me and not the country. What about Joel Embiid? Are you going to boo him in Philly if they ever get another game in Philly? Are you upset that he called out the local fans? We would try to tell our players, could you do us a favor? I know there's only 2,000 people here, but just be happy there's 2,000 people. Don't call out the community. If we did better, they'd come, and maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's the ballpark. Maybe it's traffic. Who knows? But just do me a solid. Don't call out your own fan base. Joel Embiid, after losing game four to the Knicks in Philly, said that he was upset that Knicks fans had taken over. He said, "It's disappointing. I love our fans. I think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing." Spoiler alert, Joel, if you're not calling them out, then don't say anything. But you can't just get away with calling them out by saying you're not calling them out. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans and they're down the road and I've never seen it. I've been here 10 years. Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. Uh-oh. Joel Embiid is going to get booed by his home fans. The guy's out there playing on one leg, trying to overcome a roster that is just not good enough. A process that was not to be trusted, that did not work. Don't worry, the Commanders are going to be fine, and so are the Devils. If you're listening to this, I just tried to do the thing that gets you a horse. I'm just not good enough at it. I can't believe Embiid did that. I really can't. It seems strange to me because when you're down 3-1 to the Knicks, when you've held Brunson down, oh, I'm a Knick guy. You know that about me. From 1974 to 1999. I really probably didn't miss a game and went starting in 80 to almost every home game. Brunson is not an all-time Knick. I love him. 47 points, franchise record in the playoffs. It's a different world. You're telling me that you'd rather have Brunson than Ewing or Brunson than Bernard King or Brunson than Carmelo Anthony or Brunson than, I don't know, Doc Rivers, Oakley? Starks, Brunson's been great, no doubt. Let's not crown him quite yet. Not yet. But the Knicks are going to beat the Sixers, as they should. Knicks are a better team. Calling Philly not a sports town is pretty good by Embiid, wasn't it? Philly fans are not going to like that. I wonder what's going to be with Doc Rivers. I was just thinking about Doc Rivers. My Milwaukee Bucks, I love. They're my second favorite team. I think I may have even picked them to win the finals. They're probably not going to get past the Pacers. Giannis is hurt. Lillard's hurt. Doc Rivers has been either you can call him a disaster or you can call him ineffective. Doc Rivers led the coup to get rid of the Bucks coach in his first year in the middle of this past season. And the Bucks have just not been a cohesive team. I would have kept the coach because the Bucks still would not have been a cohesive team because Lillard and Giannis have not quite figured out how to do it together. It takes a minute. You can't just put Harden, George, and Leonard together and say, oh, you're together. You can't just put Irving and Luka together. Oh, make it work. It takes a minute. That's why when you marry players together, you have to A, do it right, but B, you have to let it evolve. And then you have to be willing to pull a plug when it's not going to evolve. And I'm thinking like the Pierce Garnett situation with Brooklyn. There's just all sorts of things. Are Giannis and Lillard able to ever play together? Will they play together? Will they win together? Are the Bucks good enough? Was losing Holiday a bigger deal than people gave them credit for, than people thought about? Are the Pacers just a better team? No. The way it stands, though, without Giannis and Lillard, of course they are. And Lillard likely won't play again. So the Bucks are going to be on the brink. They're on the brink, and they're going to get eliminated. And you're going to see that the Bucks will be able to use the fact that injuries is what caused it, not a incorrect putting together of a team. The Lakers are not going to have that luxury. The Lakers and LeBron James are going to lose to the Nuggets, even though they've had double-digit leads, and people are saying, oh, they could have won the series. Well, yes. And if I had more milk when I was a kid and some growth hormone, maybe I'd be 6'2". There would be all the talk about LeBron. What more can LeBron do? Wait for the articles. LeBron's a year older. There's no way. We had these articles last year. There's no way that he's going to come back. They got to give him more help. Should he just leave? Should he become a free agent? Should he see where Bronny's drafted? Yeah, that's how it's going to work. He'll wait for Bron to be drafted by some unknown team, and then he'll go to that unknown team. The Lakers are in bed with LeBron. They will figure it out. But the sad truth is that the Lakers on the court are just not as good as the Thunder or the Nuggets. LeBron knows it. Buss knows it. There is one thing, however, that LeBron is really smart at, really good at. And it's something that will help inform what he does over the course of the next season that he plays, or two seasons. He's really good at business because it's just business. This is nothing personal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.